The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
We are in the Gospel of Mark. We're in a series called Remarkable. We're moving through the book of Mark from start to finish. Today we're in chapter 9, Mark chapter 9. And the title of the message today is Up and Down the Mountain. Up and Down the Mountain. And I did this in the first service because I knew they needed a little help waking up. I'm going to do it here because you just proved to me that some of you still need some help waking up. So do me a favor and stand to your feet with me this morning. And I'm gonna teach you a song that I learned in kids' church. And I'm going to teach you the actions that go with it. And I'm going to ask you to do this song with me, okay? And so the song, I'll tell you, it goes like this. Some of you have heard it. It says, when you're up, and when you're down, but when you're only halfway up, you're neither up or down. How many of you have heard that song before? And so the way it goes is when you sing it, when you say up, you stand up, and when you say down, you crouch down, and then halfway, you go to the halfway point, and so every time, so if we do it really fast, you're going to look like a bunch of popcorn this morning, and I get that view, all right? But are you ready? We're just going to do it one time. You're not too cool for this, I promise you, all right? You are not. Some of you are thinking that. I prophetically am telling you that you're not, all right? So here we go. Let's do it. So if you're up, you're up. And if you're down, you're down. But if you're only halfway up, you're neither up nor down. Now, a little bit faster. And if you're up, you're up. And if you're down, you're down. But if you're only halfway up, you're neither up nor down. One more? One more? Do you got one more in you? Ready? If you're up, you're up. And if you're down, you're down. But if you're only halfway up, you're neither up or down. Give yourselves a hand. I wasn't sure if you would participate with me. That was awesome. Thank you, guys. We should have positioned a camera up here. We missed an opportunity, Pastor Tyler. We did. The message this morning is called Up and Down the Mountain. There's a law that Sir Isaac Newton discovered, and you can help me complete the sentence. He said that what goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. And we're talking about up and down the mountain. Tell me if this is true or not. Life is full of ups and downs. True? Right? It's full of twists and turns and challenges and surprises and ups and downs. And I think that the gospel has something to help us with the ups and downs of life. You see, I have an image for you. This is what we wish that life looked like, is that we start out and we know the finish line and the path is straight and there's no bumps and we're just going to cruise and coast and get there. But this is what life actually ends up looking like, right? Full of surprises, right? You got to swim through the water and jump over the mountain and rappel and climb. I mean, life is full of ups and downs. It's full. And you know what? I wish that the way it worked is that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I wish that that meant that the rest of your life was up. That the rest of your life was mountaintop experience. That everything from that prayer forward was just good and blessed and prosperous and no pain and no sorrow. But that's not the way that it works. Life is full of ups and downs. And in today's passage in Mark chapter 9, we read about two episodes that are back to back. One of them is an up the mountain experience, and the other is a down the mountain experience. And I'll just tell you up front that what happens at the top of the mountain should prepare you for what's going to happen at the bottom of the mountain. In fact, if it doesn't, then you're not doing something right. If your time at the top of the mountain with the Lord, that's what we're going to talk about today, if that doesn't prepare you for the challenges at the bottom of the mountain, then something's happening, something's wrong there. And so I'm hoping to help you with that today. So Mark chapter 9, we'll start in the first verse. So this is the first episode. This is the up the mountain episode. It says, and Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them where? up a mountain. So here we go. We're going up the mountain here, where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And I love the parentheses here. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." At the top of the mountain, the first thing that we see is that the glory of God came. The glory of God visited Jesus and the disciples and Moses and Elijah. The glory of God came. In some of your Bibles, the heading over this passage probably says something about the transfiguration. That's a big word, so I'll use another big word, but one that might make more sense to describe this, and that word would be metamorphosis. And see, that one paints a picture of a worm that becomes a butterfly, right? This worm, I don't know how it does it, but this worm will wrap itself in the cocoon and undergo a transfiguration or a metamorphosis to become something beautiful. I mean, worms aren't really beautiful unless they're on a hook catching a fish, right? But butterflies are beautiful. Beautiful, right? And this is the picture of the metamorphosis, right? And this is, we're reading about this transfiguration, this metamorphosis where the glory of God is coming into this mountaintop. And, I realized as I was preparing this that this term, the glory of God, might not be a term that you're familiar with. But see, I grew up in the church. I grew up, my parents were pastors. My grandparents were pastors. And my grandparents pastored in rural Oklahoma. And I loved every summer. I spent 2 weeks visiting my grandparents. And my grandparents had a little farm. And we branded cattle. And we caught catfish, and we ate corn dogs, and we went to church. And in my grandpa's little country church, this was pretty common. Is at some point in the service, somebody would kind of interrupt, and they'd stand to their feet, and they'd say, "I need to testify about the goodness of our Lord." And everyone's like, "Oh, come on, brother!" And have you ever been there? It's fun. I'm just telling you, it's fun. And so this brother would stand up and he would testify. But, you know, last week I wasn't here because I was sick in bed. I was laid up and I was sick and y'all prayed for me. And I'm just telling you, good Lord, raise me up. He raised me up. I just want to testify the goodness of the Lord. And you know what? Five or six people, they would respond like this. They would say, "Glory to God, glory to God." And I realized, like, we don't say that. That's not a term that now that I've taught you, you're free to use that if you want. You just if I'm preaching and something, you just say, "Glory to God, Pastor," and I'll be encouraged. And man, yeah, way to go. I haven't even said anything good yet. Glory to God. All right. And here's what the term means. Okay. Here's what they're saying when they say glory to God is that glory means literally it means weight. So what it means is the weight of God is bigger, weightier, heavier than the weight of my circumstance. That's what it means. You know, when the brother stood up and testified of his circumstance, what he testified of was that the weight of God was bigger than the weight of my sickness. And when the weight of God pressed in on the weight of my circumstance, it just fell. It crushed it under the weight of God. And it touched me, right? That's the idea, is that it's this weight, that the weight of God, okay? So now you know what the glory of God means. And what we see at the top of the mountain is the glory of God comes. Right, we see that suddenly, you know, Jesus' clothes are dazzling white. I love how it describes it, whiter than anyone could ever bleach them. Like they were shining, right? They were sparkling, they were iridescent. And it says in the scriptures that a cloud kind of enveloped them on top of the mountain. And suddenly Elijah and Moses join them. And then they hear the voice of God. I mean, the audible voice of the Lord here. And he says, "This is my son whom I love." And the other time we heard that was at the baptism of Jesus, right? And I'm just telling you, like, this was a moment. The glory of God, it visited them there on that mountain. And Peter, he's kind of overwhelmed. In fact, it says they didn't know what to say because they were frightened, which, by the way, when you don't know what to say, you should just say nothing at all, okay? Because in that moment, when you choose to say something, you say something kind of silly, right? And Peter, I love Peter. Peter's got to be one of my favorite, men in the Bible to read about because he's just so unpredictable. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get with Peter. Right? It's kind of like hanging out with Mitch Kennedy. I mean, he's just going to say something, right? I mean, he's going to pull that sword out and cut the ear off. Like, Mitch, Peter, put your sword away. Come on, man, right? And so Peter, he's up on the mountain, right? And the glory of God comes in, and he looks around, and he says, "It's good for us to be here," right? And I want to be like, wow, Peter, like deep thought, it's good for us to be here. And then we'll talk about this, but then he comes up with this harebrained idea. He's like, let's build some tents, right? Let's build some tents and let's stay here, right? And here's the idea, is that the glory of God came and Peter really didn't know what to do. And truthfully, the glory of God, it can have that effect on us. It's a little bit overwhelming, right? And so I wanted to talk to you for just a minute about worship. Because see, worship is, it's the word that we use to describe our search for the glory of God. That's really what it is. See, worship is, we've said this in this series, worship is more than just singing songs. Worship is more than clapping hands. Worship is more than standing up or sitting down or kneeling down or laying down or any other posture. It's more than that. Worship is really, it's really about surrender, right? So we've said this in the series. You can sing the worship songs and not surrender your heart. Therefore, you can sing the songs and actually not worship, right? It's about surrender. And so, I don't know your particular church background, but depending on how you grew up, some of the things that we do, some of the ways that we worship might be foreign, or quite honestly, might seem a little bit weird, right? Like a lot of us, if you were watching a few minutes ago, you saw people singing, you heard people singing, you probably heard people singing that shouldn't be singing, and that's part of it. It's okay if you were near me, you had that thought. Yeah, you saw people clapping their hands, you might have heard someone, shout or proclaim, something louder. You saw people raising their hands. You might have seen someone bow or kneel or dance or jump. I mean, there's a lot of expressions to worship. And so you might walk into that, and maybe you were raised a different way, and it's weird to you, and you're like, well, what's going on? Let me just help you, okay? It's really not about the expression, but it's about creating an atmosphere where the glory, the weight of God can come in, not just to this place, not just to this room, because it could happen anywhere, right? Like I've worshiped outside, I've worshiped in my house, I've worshiped in other countries. It's not necessarily about here, it's about bringing the weight of God into our hearts and applying the weight of God to our circumstances. And so we work really hard here at Harvest to create the atmosphere every single week. I mean, Pastor Tyler mentioned it earlier, like, Pastor Russ and John and some of our leaders and our worship teams, like, they are here before anyone else on Sunday mornings. Like, they're here before I'm here. I get the alarm notification on my phone, and it tells me that the worship team is starting to prepare the atmosphere. They're here at 7 o'clock so that you can sleep in and go eat a donut and get a cup of coffee and come dragging in here, and they are ready even if you are not. And we work hard at it.
And that's why, I mean, honestly, it's part of why I get so stinking excited about worship. Like, that's why during worship, if you watch, I can't sit still. Like, I'm pacing up there, and I'm praying, and I'm getting ready. And honestly, I'm praying for you. And I'm just praying. I'm saying, God, just bring your glory into this place today. Because I know that if your glory will come, if you will come into this place, it will change circumstances. Do you believe that? So the glory of God comes here on the mountaintop. And let me help you with something. Is that we said this, but the mountaintop experience, it prepares you to go down the mountain. If you don't experience the glory of God on the mountaintop, if you don't allow that weight to really settle into your heart, then when you go down the mountain, and we haven't even got there yet, but here's the preview. When you go down the mountain and you face trouble, if you haven't spent time in the presence of God, then you end up getting crushed in the valley. And can I help you with something? I don't know how it is in your house, but in our house, I don't like for the gas gauge to get too close to the E, all right? E stands for empty, right? E stands for stranded. E stands for trouble. E stands, right? But my wife, she likes to play this game called how close can I get to the E without putting more gasoline in it, right? Like, I think she's just praying for the miracle of the multiplication of gasoline, right? And I don't know what it is, but so we're always kind of like, you know, I mean, I'm telling every time I get in her car, every single time, it's on E. I'm just like, what? How do you, and it literally counts down the mile. And I've gotten in before and it's at zero. I'm like, babe, you know what zero means, right? I mean, that means you are not going to make it to the gas station, right? Like, you, and I had someone in first service come up to me that is guilty of this same disease. And he said to me, Pastor, my car actually does something after zero. I'm like, really? Like, he says, my car actually says, you need gas. I'm like, yes, you do. And here's my struggles. I'm always like, babe, you don't have to wait. Like, if you're driving and you have 10 extra minutes and you're at half a tank, you can just pull in and just put more gas in it, right? Like, it's possible, but we're still working on that. We're in marriage counseling. After today, I'll probably be in trouble, but I'm just, so here's why I'm telling you that story, is that too many believers treat their spirituality like that. Too many believers wait to fill the glory tank, if you will, until the warning lights are flashing, right? And can I tell you when the warning lights flash when you hit crisis mode and you are tapped out. Like, you can't go any further. And it's like, you need gas, right? You need glory. You need, and I just want, I'm trying to help you. Don't wait. At the end of the day, I don't actually care what you do with your car. Just don't call me if you're stranded, all right? Because I'll be like, I told you, remember, I'll send you the podcast. But in your spiritual life, don't wait. Don't wait until the empty light starts flashing. Like, life's a lot better. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more enjoyable if you'll fill that tank on a regular basis. And let me just help you a little bit more, all right? Sundays fill your tank, okay? But you cannot only fill your tank on Sundays. You need to be in the presence of God, I mean, every day, like every single day. And here, I think we overcomplicate it. I really do. I think too many people think that, you know, the way you have to do it, you know, you got to go to the altar and you got to kneel and you got to spend 3 hours or else Jesus doesn't hear you. You got to speak in King James, and who in the world knows King James anyway now? And, you know, and I'm just telling you, it's not about the method. It's not about the strategy. It's about spending time in the presence of God. And so I spend time in the presence of God every day. every day. I mean, I spend time, and I'm just telling you because I'm trying to help you with this. I spend time with the Lord while I'm running and while I'm working and while I'm doing stuff and while I'm grocery shopping. And I'm just telling, it can happen. I mean, you can pray anywhere. You can spend time with the Lord anywhere. It doesn't matter. You don't have to do it a certain way. You just have to do it. And the glory of God comes. When you spend time with the Lord, this is what happens. It's worship, prayer, life groups. These are mountaintop experiences. These are times when the glory of God comes and you are reminded that His weight is bigger than the weight of your circumstance. So not only did the glory of God come, but we keep reading and we find out that the glory of God also went. It also left. So the glory of God came and the glory of God went. In fact, it says suddenly that they were, they had Elijah and Moses there in a cloud and all this stuff's happening. And it says suddenly there was no one there but Jesus, right? It's like, well, where did Moses go? Where did Elijah go? What's going on here, right? It suddenly they looked around and they're gone. Here's the idea, is that those atmospheres, those mountaintop atmospheres, they're not designed for you just to live there. They're not designed to just stay there. The glory of God comes for a season to refresh you, to strengthen you, to help you, and then the glory of God leaves. And here's the idea, is that the glory of God leaves, but it has empowered you to now go back down the mountain, right? The glory of God, it's a resource that equips you to go back down. So not only did the glory of God come, not only did it go, but it actually, here's where it went, is it went with them. It went with the disciples. Peter, James, and John go up the mountain, right? And then they're deposited with the glory of God. And now as they're coming down, the glory of God didn't leave, okay? It's now inside of them. What an exciting idea, right? That the glory of God resides within His people so that we can be victorious in the valley, right? And so the glory of God comes, and the glory of God goes, and the glory of God goes with them. Read with me, starting in verse 8, and here's that was up the mountain, now here's down the mountain. Verse 8 says, suddenly they looked around, no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, so we're coming down now, Jesus gives them orders not to tell anyone what they'd seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And they kept this matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, why did the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it was written about him. And when they came to the other disciples, so notice this, they came to the other disciples. There's 9 other disciples that did not go up the mountain with Jesus. And they come down, it says they come to the other disciples, and they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. The man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It's often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. And the boy looked like a corpse. And many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. So now the disciples are at the top of the mountain. They're journeying down the mountain. And what do they discover at the bottom of the mountain? Well, as soon as they get to the bottom, they walk right into a big argument, right? The other disciples and the teachers of the law, and they're fighting and they're bickering and they're being mean to each other and they're arguing. I mean, what an awesome thing to walk into, right? Out of the top of the mountain. I mean, it's you're at this amazing church service, and I mean, things are good. You just kind of float out of there and right into smack into argument. But not only that, they also encounter this father with his son with an evil spirit, an impure spirit. And I mean, a wicked impure spirit. This spirit, it says he would cause him to convulse and fall into the fire and fall into the water. And, I mean, just a wicked, wicked spirit. And then, I mean, this is the picture. The glory of God, right? Just, oh my goodness, it could not get any better. Bam, down, down, down the mountain, smack into the face of trouble. And I have to assume that Peter, James, and John are probably, they're probably thinking this, where's the glory of God now? Like, I want to go back up the mountain. Like, that was really cool. I want the cloud and the dazzling white clothes and the voice of the Father. And I want, like, let's go build tents. Let's go back up there. Like, I where is the glory of God now? And what we have to understand is that the disciples, they're faced with this question. Is are they going to remember the top of the mountain when they get to the bottom of the mountain? It's really a question we have to answer too. Is are we going to remember the word of God that was spoken over us at the top of the mountain when we face trouble? Are we going to remember the promises of God that we discovered in our quiet time at the top of the mountain when we get to the bottom of the mountain? Is it going to actually impact our real life? And here's what you need to know about the glory of God, is that the glory of God actually attracts problems. It attracts problems. Let me tell you why. Let me help you with this. At church, week after week after week, we make claims about the glory of God, right? We tell you stories of and testimonies of the healing and the power and the promise and the good things. And I mean, just today, I'm coming in and someone stops me and says, Pastor, you remember the girl that my friend that we were praying for? She was literally on her deathbed and she was doing dialysis every day. And the doctor said she wasn't going to make it. And we sent a prayer request, and people all, I mean, not just us, but people all across the country are praying for this friend and praying for this friend. Yeah, Pastor, this week she's off dialysis. She's doing great. She's healthy. The doctors are sending her home. She's got her life. She wasn't supposed to live, and now she lives. And every week, we tell you, I mean, we make claims. I mean, every week we tell you, listen, God can fix your broken relationship. God can heal your broken marriage. God can restore you to your children. God can fix that money problem. God can fix that. I mean, we just, every week it's just like, we brag on the glory of God. So you know what happens is people believe it and they bring their stuff to test it against the glory of God, right? It's almost like, well, here's my thing, right? Let's see if the glory is heavier than my thing, because my thing's pretty bad, right? I mean, don't you think that when you're in the middle? It's like, well, man, I mean, you don't know how bad mine is, right? And so they bring it. Like I'll just tell you, like, this last week was crisis week. I'm just telling you. I mean, it was like full bore all week, like fighting the devil, okay? I mean, it was marriage crisis and relationship crisis and it was people just all week just coming. I mean, like last Sunday, I was here meeting with people until 10:30 at night because there was crisis after crisis after crisis. And let me just tell you, here's what happened is that every single time the glory of God proved to be bigger than the circumstance. Every single time. And it would be easy to be overwhelmed by a week like that. It would be easy to just, oh my goodness, like we are falling apart. Like, oh my goodness, why are so many people sick and having it? Like, come. But I'm just telling you that not only did the glory of God attract problems, but the glory of God proved to be bigger than the circumstances. It proved it. So don't be afraid when problems come. Don't be afraid because we have something on our side. We have the glory of God. And here's the really good news. Here's the really good news. So the glory of God came. The glory of God went. The glory of God went with them. But here's the good news for us today. Because, it's one thing to go, oh, cool. The glory of God went with Peter, James, and John. But here's the good news. The glory of God is available to us today. That's the good news. It's not just for Peter, James, and John. It's not just for the transfiguration. It is for you and I today. It is available to us today. So the question is, well, how does up there work down here, right? How does that kingdom God stuff, how does it participate in my life? Well, Jesus, in his final prayer, it's recorded in John chapter 17, he's preparing for the crucifixion, and he's praying, and in this part of the passage, he's praying for us. He's praying for the church, for the disciples, for followers, and he prays this in verse 22. He says to the Father, he says, I have given them the glory. Notice the word. I've given them the glory that you gave me. I mean, guys, if we could figure this out, if we could grab a hold of this idea, like this is a life-changing idea, that the glory of God was given to the Son, and the Son walked this earth, and the Son went to the cross and defeated the enemy and defeated death and defeated sin and defeated sickness and he came and then on his way out, he gave to us that glory. He didn't keep it for himself. He didn't put it as a trophy on his wall. He gave the glory, the weight of God, of the weight, the power, the authority to walk this earth victoriously. He passed it on. He said, Father, that glory that you gave to me, I now give to them that they may be one. But we read in Mark, we read that the disciples, they're brought, the Father comes with the Son to the disciples, and he's like, hey guys, here's my Son, he's got a demon in him, and I need you to help him, and what we know, we don't know exactly what ensued, but we know that they couldn't help him. We know that the Father's like, dude, I brought him to your people, and I mean, they couldn't do it. But I want you to notice, three disciples went up the mountain, right? Peter, James, and John. And we know that there were 12 core disciples. There were more than that, but there were 12 core disciples. And so here's what happens is the other 9 disciples stayed back in town and did not go up the mountain. And these are the disciples, the 9 that stayed behind. They're the ones that were brought the boy. And so, here's what I'm telling you. It's no wonder that they couldn't have victory over the enemy because they had not gone up the mountain. They had not been in the glory of God. And so, they had seen miracles, right? Like we've seen it all through Mark. They'd watched miracles happen. They'd watched other demons kicked out. They'd watched people be healed. Like they had been there, right? Been there, done that, have the t-shirt. These disciples, that's them. But the critical mistake was they didn't go back up the mountain, right? They didn't go back and sit in the glory of God. But the Father, he teaches us just two quick things. He teaches us two things about unlocking the glory of God in our lives. Because remember, the Father comes and he says, Jesus, if you can, right? I mean, I love it. He's, if you can, would you have pity on us? If you can. See, the first thing that he does that helps us to understand how to live in the glory of God is that we've got to admit our helplessness. We've got to admit our helplessness. You see, this is a father who is in a desperate situation, right? Parents, you understand that, I mean, there is nothing worse than that feeling of not being able to help your child, right? I mean, when they're sick, it breaks your heart, right? When they're going through something, I mean, every parent I've ever met is like, if I could fix it, if I could take their place, we would do it. We would do anything for our kids, right? I mean, this week, Lisa had a women's conference, and the same night, Ava and Eden had track practice, or track meet, and so I was at track, and Lisa was here, and I was doing a really good job of keeping up, you know, with Ava and Eden, but the problem is, there's a whole lot of other kids from Hope, so they're all wearing green shirts, and it seems like all of them have blonde hair, and so I'm like, you know, trying to keep up with them, and it's like herding cats. I mean, they're running everywhere. It's just nuts, right? And I'm by myself. I don't have backup, right? The odds are against me, 2-on-1. And I'm trying, and Ava's about to run, and suddenly I'm like, where in the world is Eden, right? And I'm looking at every green shirt, blonde head girl. I'm like trying to, and none of them are Eden. But Ava's about to run, so she runs her race, and I still haven't found Eden. And I'm panicking at this point, and I'm like, I'm planning to flee the country because Lisa is just, it's done. She's going to kill me. And I'm trying. I found her. Yeah, I found her. She was on the monkey bars, because that's where you go in a track meet, right? I mean, come on, Dad, like, what are you thinking, right? But there was a moment, and some of you have had that moment, parents, where it's like, oh my goodness, I would do anything. Like, oh man, what if something actually happened, right? I mean, it was a brief moment, but the bottom of my stomach just dropped, right? And this daddy, he comes with his son, and that he's at that place. Like, I would do anything. I would trade places. I'd pay any amount of money. I would do anything. And he can't. Right? That's the worst feeling. I can't fix the problem. And that is the secret that unlocked the heart of God towards the Father. Is he comes to him and he's like, Jesus, if you can, would you just have pity on us? I mean, I love the humility in it. Because you know what? He comes with a little bit of faith, right? Because Jesus says, yeah, I can do anything if you believe. And he's like, it wasn't like, I do believe. It was like, I believe, but I have this whole lot of other unbelief that you're going to have to help me with, right? I love the honesty, right? It's just, it's so raw and just, it's beautiful. And we talked about it last week. That is the atmosphere that opens the heart of God towards his people. He is just waiting for us to finally realize that we're not God and that he is, right? That he can handle it. And it's like he just waits for us to get to that place. And I'm just telling you, when we admit our helplessness, when we admit, and notice, Jesus didn't chastise him for a little bit of faith. Church, listen, it is okay for you to not be a spiritual giant every day, all the time. It's okay. Like, none of us can do it. None of us can be all in, all on, always strong, all the time. Like, it's just not possible. And he comes with a little bit of faith, and Jesus honors that. You know, it's amazing what Jesus can do with just a little bit of faith, right? And so Jesus steps into the situation, and he heals the little boy. Russ, you guys can join me. Here's the second thing, and we'll end with this one. Here's the second thing that unlocks the glory of God in our lives. It's honestly, it's not earth-shattering, okay? But it's so important. It's prayer. It's prayer. Remember, Jesus says, he says to them, that the dad says, I brought them to your disciples. They couldn't do it. And Jesus, he says, there are certain things that can only happen through prayer. There are certain things. See, here's the idea, church. There are problems that we will face that cannot be solved with natural solutions. There just are. There are things in your marriage or with your kids and at your job and in our state. There are problems that cannot be solved with just natural solutions. And so here's the question. Here's the one I want us to face, okay? How can we expect the glory of God if we don't pray? How can we expect the glory of God if we don't pray? I read a quote this week. It's clever, so don't miss it. It said this. It says, 7 days without prayer makes one weak. W-E-A-K. So 7 days is a week for some of you who need help with this, but this is a different word. This is not strong week. After that one-hand fishing joke the other day, I just feel like I have to explain some things. How can we expect the glory, the presence, the weight of God if we don't pray? So here, let me help you. Here's the belief that's not true, is that I think we've often misrepresented prayer. Is that prayer is often presented as a religious rule that you have to keep if you are a follower of Jesus. And I want to help you today. It's so much more. Prayer is not a religious rule, okay? Like, if you don't pray, then you don't get zapped by lightning, all right? I'm just telling you, let me tell you what happens. When you don't pray, it's not that you're breaking a religious rule. It's that you're not treating God as God. You're not putting Him in the place of authority in your life. Here's what you're saying when you don't pray. Is you're saying, I got this. I can handle it. I can figure it out. I'm big enough. I'm strong enough. I got enough money in the bank. I have enough resources. That's what we say when we don't pray. And this is why prayer is so important. And I'll shamelessly plug that Tuesday night is our once a month all church prayer. And listen to me, I'm not putting it in there to guilt you into coming to pray. Like, if you don't want to be here, I don't want you here, okay? Like, you will mess up the atmosphere, all right? Like, I'm serious. Like, don't come dragging your feet in like, I got to go to prayer. Oh my, like, just don't, okay? Just stay home, all right? And we'll pray for you, okay? But like, if you're serious about seeing the glory of God show up in our city, I mean, good grief. We need the glory of God to visit Albuquerque. I am so stinking tired of reading the headlines that are bad and negative. I'm so tired of the devil getting credit. I'm so tired of it, church. I'm just tired of it. And what I'm looking for is I'm looking for people who are tired of that junk with me who will just say, you know what? We aren't going to fix it unless the glory of God visits our city. That's what I'm looking for. So you can come Tuesday and we're going to pray. It's going to be awesome. We have kids prayer. We have youth prayer. Like, I'm going to start dog prayer soon. Like, Cooper, I've been training Cooper. He's almost ready. I'm just telling you, okay? But really, how can we expect the glory of God if we're not praying? And listen, Sunday prayer is good. Once a month, church prayer is good. Listen, you need to be praying every day. You need to be praying every day. Don't complicate it. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. Just talk to Him. Just talk to Him. And then here's it. And then listen. Just listen. You've probably heard this, but God gave us two ears and one mouth so we would listen twice as much as we talk. But most of us, at least when it comes to God, talk more than we listen. And I'm just telling you, if you'll position yourself, if you'll open your ears, your heart, He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. So here's how I want us to respond today. I was here last night. I was praying. I was preparing and reading and just getting ready. And I just heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me that there would be some here today who you have a specific situation that you need the glory of God to visit. Maybe I'll say it this way. You are currently down the mountain. You're currently, you know, down in the valley. And so I started praying this for you last night. And this is what I want to pray over us today. My prayer is that today that you would experience the glory of God that will equip you to face the valley. That's my prayer for you. I've already been praying for you. And here's what we're going to do is we're going to take just a few minutes to create atmosphere for the glory of God. We talked about this, but the two main ways we do that is through worship and prayer. And so in a minute, we're gonna worship again. Pastor Russ, he's gonna lead us, and but listen, don't just sing the song. Don't just sing the song. Worship, surrender. Like, just give him your heart. Just give him your heart. Just lay it all out there. Just surrender. Just you know, tell him how helpless you are without him. Tell him that he is God, right? That he can handle it, that he's good, that he's big, that he's just, like, I'm asking you to worship. And if you need to sing the words to do that, then do it, okay? If you need to clap your hands to do it, then do it. If you need to shout or, like, just, like, I'm giving you permission, okay, to just worship. And what's going to happen is that the glory of God is going to visit this place. But more importantly, the glory of God is going to visit your heart. And here's what's going to happen is that when his weight presses against the weight of your circumstance, he's heavier. And your circumstance will be crushed under the weight of God's glory. And I just know that, I know there's some here today that's you. That's where you're at today. So do me a favor, stand with me where you're at. And I'm going to ask you to do this just to get in a place where you can really focus, not on your spouse, your neighbor, or the worship team, but on God, because we're going to worship. So I want you to close your eyes. And as we worship, do whatever you need to do to worship. But listen to me. Some of you, like, you really need to press in. You need the glory of God to visit your heart today. So I'm going to ask you to go a step further. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are, just as we worship, and join me at the front. We didn't do it first service, but I feel like we're supposed to do it here. Is that we got to step out in faith, right? So even if you're here today and you're like, I have a little bit, but I have a whole lot of also, like, that's okay. Okay. You just step out, and the glory of God's going to come. Are you ready? Are you ready? You ready to worship with me? Church, let's worship. If you need to come, you can come.
The fullness of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters.
Yeah, come on.
And earth revealing heaven's wonders. Spirit come.
Yeah.
Spirit come.
Yes. Come on.
And what you spoke is now unfolding. And all your children shall behold it. A dream is awakening in this moment.
Yes.
Spirit come. Spirit come.
We worship you, God.
And pour it out.
Glory
that your
God
love
has fallen. Yes.
Here and now. Let your glory fill this house.
Glory of God.
Pour
it
out.
Yes.
Let your love run over here now. Let your glory fill this house.
Yes, we worship you today, God. We worship you. We invite your presence. We invite
now
your
the world
to come into this
your
place,
presence.
Into our hearts. Let the weight of God just settle in your
and
hearts
this
right now.
And power is within us. We will rise to be your witness. Spirit come, Spirit come, and pour it out. Let your love run over here and now. Let your glory fill this house. Pour it out. Let your love run over here and now. Let your glory fill his house.
So friends, let's unlock the glory of God right now. Let's begin to just admit our helplessness. Will you just, in your own words, will you just begin to pour your heart out to the King of Kings? Will you just tell him that place where you need help, that thing that's been controlling you and crushing you and leading you around by the nose? Just begin to tell him right now. Just pour it out to him. You can tell him. He's been waiting on you. He's been waiting on you to be vulnerable and to let the guard down and to stop pretending like you got it all together and that you can take it. He's been waiting for you. I'm just telling you that if you just begin to tell him right now that place where you need help, he's going to come running. He's been waiting for you. He's going to come running to help you. I'm telling you, today is a breakthrough day. Today is a transfiguration, metamorphosis, glory to God kind of a day. Just begin to admit that to him right now. And I want to remind you of the dad who comes to Jesus and he says, if you can, will you just have pity on me? And I want your spirit to hear this morning, because what Jesus said to the Father is what he's saying to you right now. He says, if I can, everything is possible for him who believes. So Jesus, may the weight of your glory settle in right now to our hearts. We put your weight against the weight of our circumstances. If there was a scale, it would show that the weight of God, the glory of God, is so much more, is so bigger, is so far superior to anything that this world can come against us with, anything that the enemy can come against us with. And so right now, we exercise whatever amount of faith that we have. It doesn't matter if it's big or little. We put that faith out there and we believe. We believe. We believe. We believe that today is a breakthrough day. We believe that today is a turnaround day. We believe that today situations are changing. Circumstances are changing. Lives are changing. Relationships are changing. People are being healed. We believe today that as we're at the top of the mountain, we're in the glory of God. We sense your presence today. We feel your presence. We know, God, that you are here and that you are listening and that you care. And so, God, what you're doing is you are equipping us right now. You're equipping us to face the valley. You're equipping us to face the bottom of the mountain. You are filling us up right now. You are every single one of us, whether we came to the front or not, you're topping off the tank right now. Glory of God, come. Glory of God, come. Glory of God, just settle in to our hearts and remind us just how big you are, how great you are, how awesome you are. Glory of God, come. Glory of God, come. Pour it out. Pour it out. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I don't feel released to just move forward. I just don't think he's done yet. I feel like the Lord's speaking to individuals right now, just like at the top of the mountain, how they could hear the voice of the Father just so clearly. Right now, some of you, this is the environment that you've been waiting on to hear the voice of God. This is the environment you've been seeking, you've been asking, you've been pressing in, and this is the top of the mountain. This is the atmosphere to hear the voice of God. And so I don't want to rush. I don't want to move forward. Glory of God, come.
I want to obey what I feel the Holy Spirit's putting in my heart. And I want to pray for some who the bottom of the mountain for you is a recent diagnosis, a doctor's report. I just kind of had this stirring in my heart to put the weight of the doctor's report against the weight of the glory of God. If you've ever had a negative report, you know the weight that carries, right? You understand that. You know that type of report, it weighs your heart down. And church, what I want to do is like collectively, I want us to just, it's like a battle, right? Like two heavyweight, contenders going against each other. Let's put them in the ring and see who comes out on top. Because like, the glory of God will come out on top. Is that you today? Is that anyone here? Recent diagnosis? Would you put your hand in the air? Church, will you pray with those? There's several, okay? Father, right now we pit the glory of God against the recent diagnosis of doctors. We're not denying it. We've seen the x-rays, we've seen the reports, we've seen the blood work. We know what's going on. We know there's something going on physical. But today, collectively, all of us, we pit the glory of God against that negative report. And we say right now, be healed in the name of Jesus. We say, reverse the report of the doctor in the name of Jesus. Confound the wisdom of the world in the name of Jesus. Glory of God, come. Weight of God, come against the negative report, the medical report. Isaiah says, by his stripes, we are healed. Not we can be healed, but we are healed. And we pray that prayer, God, over our friends today. We pray that in the name of Jesus, that the weight of God would crush sickness, disease, illness, in the name of Jesus. Church, will you pray with me for our city? God, we are tired of hearing the news and reading the reports of the activity of the devil in our city. We're tired of being at the top of the list for violent crimes. We're tired of being at the top of the list for carjackings. We're tired of being that city. And God, we pray that the glory of God would visit our city. We pray that the glory of God would visit your church. God, not just Harvest. God, we pray that every church that's seeking you, every church that's coming after you, that your glory would visit those churches every single week. And we're praying that the glory of God, we're praying that it would go beyond the walls of the church. We're praying that the glory of God would go out into the city, into the highway and the byway, into the business, into the schools, into the parks, into the sports teams. God, let the glory of God just begin to spread across our city. Oh, God, we declare today a new day, a new day. We declare today a new day for our city. We declare that today that something in the spiritual realm begins to change, that things begin to turn. We ask for the glory of God to visit our city, not just on Sundays. Oh, we pray for your glory to visit our city on Monday. We pray for it to visit on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday. God, we pray for the glory of God over our students. God, over our kids and our youth. Lord, for the glory of God to invade our schools. We pray for the glory of God to invade our elementary schools.
God, I'm believing for kindergartners and first graders and second graders who know how to pray, who know how to worship, who know how to carry the weight of your glory into their classroom. God, I'm praying for our junior highs and our high schools, for the glory of God to invade our schools. God, I pray for our businesses. I pray for outbreaks of the Spirit of God in restaurants and retail stores and barber shops. And God, for the glory, God, when your glory visits our city, it won't be able to be contained. It won't fit in a church. It won't fit in a time slot. It won't fit. It's gonna run rampant across our city. God, we pray for the upcoming election. And we don't pray for a candidate, but we pray for the glory of God to visit our city through the government. We're praying for godly men and godly women to be put in the right offices, and for the glory of God, for the glory of God to visit city council, the mayor's office, and the governor's office. We pray for the glory of God to visit our city. Glory of God come. Glory of God come. How many of you sense the glory of God today? Don't lie to me. Like, you don't have to. So we're on the mountaintop. But you can't build a tent here. I won't let you, all right? You've got to go back out down the mountain. Listen, that's not a bad thing. Like, don't dread Mondays. You get to carry out with you the deposit that's been put inside of you. And you get to carry the glory of God with you into whatever you're going to face tomorrow morning. Steward it wisely. Carry it wisely, and allow the glory of God to infiltrate the rest of your life. That's what it's meant to do. It's not just, that's why it left. If the glory of God had stayed on the mountain, they never would have left the mountain, right? But it's not leaving, it's leaving with you, in you, inside of you to face the valley. So today's not just a breakthrough day, like, this is a breakthrough week. This is a breakthrough week. Do you believe that? So as you're leaving this week, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, carrying the glory of God with you. Go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.